Today's daf is daf Kuf Chav Hey, and we're holding our Kuf Chav Dalet on the base. We'll start from the Sholchu Mitam just to do a brief review, which is a few lines above the one third of the way up from the bottom. So basically, we had a very important machlokas yesterday, and that is what does the definition of Eina Bechor Notel Berui Kibemuchzak mean? How far does it go? So according to Rebbe, anything which is muhzak, even in the broadest sense, in other words, I have the ikar dover, I have, let's say, the ground and the beginnings of the sprouting of the thing, and now it's going to continue to grow. It's also considered to be muhzak. According to the Rabbana, that's not considered to be muhzak. If to be muhzak, we wouldn't say chafura v'havishuvli. That was the example that we gave yesterday, where you just have the sprouting of the grain and then it becomes actually full grown. That's not considered to be muhzak. If you have now a dekel, and it gets thicker and it's a stronger tree, fine. So then you can't view it as something that wasn't in the rishus of the father, and therefore the bechor would be neitel. And this was really based on how to understand the pasuk, whether it says on the morning, b'chol asher yimatzelo midarshin, yimatzelo means it has to be motzui tachat yado. And there's also, of course, the issue of latetlo. Pishnayim latetlo means that it's a matanah, so it has to be in his rishus. So these were the questions, how broadly do we define something as being in the rishus? So yesterday, one of the questions that was raised, which we'll continue to deal with today, is what is the circumstances of a loan? So if it's a loan that's baal peh, so then obviously it's not muhzak. If it's, however, you have a shtar, and now that means that the father really had a lien on the property that he ends up collecting le'achar meisa. So then we had a number of different shitas, what the halacha would be in such a case, whether one collects the loan, even with the ribit, and that's considered to be roi, not roi, but muhzak, and the bechor would be neitel pishnai, or whether even the actual value of the loan, forget about the ribit, is not considered to be muhzak, because a lien is not considered to be muhzak. Those were the broad questions that we had yesterday. We had the machlokas, we had Shmuel Shita. And today, we hear that they sent from Eretz Yisrael a psak halacha. The Shochu Mitam, they sent from Ma'arava, from Eretz Yisrael, Bechor Notel Pishnayim B'milva Avalo B'ribit. That actually the halacha would be that you are Notel Pishnayim. Shmuel said, Eina Bechor Notel Pishnayim B'milva yesterday. And the Chiddush over there was, he's not Notel Pishnayim B'milva. I would have thought, he said, I would have thought that maybe since he has a lien over here, the shtar, it's considered to be, it's muhzak b'yada, kamashmalan, that according to the Rabbanon, it's not considered to be muhzak b'yada. In the Eretz Yisrael, they paskia that a bechor is Notel Pishnayim, but not in the ribit. And who is that going? According to Loman, Ilema l'Rabbanon, does that make sense? The Rabbanon hold that even Shvacha di'ite b'rishute, Amir Rabbanon de lo shakel. The Rabbanon say that even in the case where you own the karka and you own the sprouts that were sprouting up, that's the case of Chafura v'avishufli, that that's considered to be ra'ui and not muhzak. So kol shekein, I mean, a case like this where b'chlau you don't have anything, milva mi boy, ella, it must be that they were going according to Rebbe. The problem is, as we saw yesterday, Rebbe holds that even the ribit is considered to be muhzak. Because Rebbe paskin ul Rebbe beribit lo, v'atanya the brayta said beferush, yesterday we just brought a brayta that showed us that according, there must be somebody who holds that the ribit is also included in yimotzei. But today that we find the brayta that it's Rebbe beferush says that. That Bechor Notel Pishnayim Bein Bebilva Bein Beribit. So here we clearly have now our Deya Aliba the Rebbe. So that means according to Rabbanan and according to Rebbe, it wouldn't have been true. So who exactly was the Shochu Mitam referring to? Says the Gemara. No, they were referring exactly to the case of Shmuel yesterday. Shmuel yesterday said, I want to make it very clear, that Aliba the Rabbanan, who hold that Chafura v'Avishufli is not considered to be muhzak, you should know that that's true even though you have a shtar. And you might think that a shtar makes you a muhzak because you already have ki'ilu, the karka that you have the lean on in the shtar, in your hand. Kamash b'lan the Rabbanan do not hold that. come along the Shochu Mitam today to say exactly the opposite. You think that it's Vaday not, the Milva, on the contrary, that the Rabbanani, and indeed the Rabbanan, all the Milva, is Kamandagavya Damya. So that the Milva, you thought it was certainly something that wouldn't be Mulzik. I tell you just the opposite. The Milva Davka is considered to be Mulzik. And therefore, it would be true. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. So, Bekitzer, yesterday, let's start from the beginning. We started with a machlokas on what the definition of roik b'mulzak means. According to the Rabbanan, we define the nature of mulzak very strictly. It has to be literally in your hands. But if it's a thing that changes totally, such as chafura v'avishufle, that's not considered to be mulzak. Therefore, it would seem to be obvious that a milva is not considered to be mulzak. Fine. Said yesterday, Shmuel, indeed, you should not even have a havamina, such a thing. Today comes along the Bnei Ma'arava to say, on the contrary, even though Chafura v'Avishufle is not considered to be a Mugzik B'yadai, but when it comes to a shtar, Aliba D'Rabbanan, not like Shmuel, it is considered to be Mugzik B'yadai, but obviously that's only the actual money that used to be in his rishus. The money that he lent, the rebit, even the Rabbanan are made of that, since he never owned that money, despite the fact that he could collect the money with the lien, even the part of the rebit that was owed during the lifetime of the father is not considered to be mulzik. So that would be the chiddush. So in other words, we have three levels. According to Shmuel, the Bechor is not neitel anything, not in the keren and not in the rebit, alib de Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, the Bechor is neitel pishnayim, both in the rebit and in the loan. According to the Bnei Ma'arava, Aliba de Rabbanan, only in the actual loan, if there's a shtar, but not in the rebit. Those are our three shitot so far. Okay, this is how the Rashbam is masbid. There are other hesberim in the Gemara. This is the most straightforward, and we'll go with this. Omar le Rav Acha Barava l'Ravina. Rav was saying over to Ravina, Ikla Meimar la'atre. You should know that a Meimar came to Tam, and he was derish that Bechor is neto pishnayim b'milva, aval lo beribit. That indeed, exactly like the Bnei Ma'arava said, that the Bechor is considered to be, the father was a mulzak, and the Bechor therefore is taking from mulzak if there's a loan with a shtar. Ashenkein, any ribit that comes in is not considered to be mulzakin, even if that ribit was owed in his lifetime. So Ravina said to Rav Acha Barav, oh, that's interesting, because a Meimar comes from Narda, and apparently in Narda, that's what everybody holds, because Rav Nachman is the famous Dayan in Narda. That's what he said. Narda l'tamay. So here, when a Meimar came, he was telling you over the psak, basically, that they had in Narda. Where do we see that from? The Omar Rabbah, because Rabbah paskind that the halacha is Govu karka yeshlo, govu ma'ot einlo, and Reb Nachman, who was the Dayan in Narda, actually the Bach has it reversed, we went straight into Reb Nachman, because we're trying to bring the Raya over here, that Nardoi hold like each other, but it's irrelevant. The point is that Amemar from Narda and Reb Nachman from Narda both paskind that you collect. Now, the only question is, what do you collect? This was something we didn't actually discuss before. We had a straightforward psak. It never occurred to us that there would be a difference whether the guy actually used the lien so that he actualized it against land and he collected real estate, or whether when he came to actualize his lien, the guy said, I'll pay you cash. We thought it was the same thing. All of a sudden, we discovered there's a new issue, but that's not important. Because Lamaisa, as far as the overall psak is concerned the Bechor is Naito Pishnayim, just like the Shochu Mitam said. There's a sub-machlokas that we never thought of before, which is, does that mean if you collected with the lien the karka? Or does it mean if you collected the lien the money? Or does it mean either way? So up until now, we assumed that it meant either way. And indeed, when Amemar came to town, what he's quoted as saying is that a Bechor is Naito Pishnayim b'milva v'lo b'ribit, without making any distinction about what it was that was collected. Correct? Now, because we're trying to show that Reb Nachman also holds that a Bechor is Naito Pishnayim, we had to bring the sheet of Reb Nachman. It turns out that Reb Nachman says it's not so pasha. He's Naito Pishnayim, but it depends in what. So if you collected cash, then he's Naito Pishnayim. But if you collected the land, he's not Naito Pishnayim. Now that sounds a little bit counterintuitive. Because the land is the thing that you had the lien on. But the Svara, is this, we'll see, that actually Reb Nachman was not basing it stam al pi Svara. He needed to distinguish between land and proper and cash, for a reason that we'll see later on. But his Svara is this, the money that I lent the guy used to be mine. I'm the father. The money I lent the guy used to be mine. When he pays me back, he's paying me back my money. The thing is, if I didn't have a lien against his land, I'd never be able to get my money. But since I had the lien, so now when the money comes back, it's viewed as the same money that was lent. So on that, you could say the father was Mozart, because he got back the money that he always had. But if the guy gives him land, he definitely never owned this land before. So how could you say he's a Mozart on the land? The land is something new that came in after his death. So Mimela, I hold that if it was cash and he collected, so then the Bechor is Naito Pishnayim, because that's the same cash, Kiilu, that he lent out. Rabbah says just the opposite. If the guy's got a lien with a contract on the land, then that could be viewed as being in his hands. But if somebody wants to pay off that lien with cash, I mean, you certainly can't say that cash is the same cash you lent him. I mean, the whole point of a milva is that it's loitzonit. Now, once you give the guy the cash, you're never going to see that cash again. So whatever comes back, okay, but it's not what you had. Good. So we'll see that Rabbah also was forced by the same need that Reb Nachman had to distinguish between cash and karka. That's for sure. The question is which direction to distinguish. All right, so now let's review again, because now we've made it a little bit more complicated. First, we just had a three-way machloikas. What is the din about Bechor being Naito Pishnayim in a loan that's repaid after the death of the Morish, the father in this case, right? So we had the sheet of Shmuel, that Aliba the Rabbanan, forget about it. Even if you had a lien against real estate, it would not mean that it's in your hands, as anybody who tried to utilize a lien finds out. It's not so simple, unless you're a bank. I mean, that is very simple. So Mimela, according to that Shita, the Rabbanan, that Shmuel in the Rabbanan, Bechor is never Naito Pishnayim in a mill. Then we had the opposite extreme, Rebbe Shita. Bechor is Naito Pishnayim not only in the milva, is Naito Pishnayim even in the interest charges that are collected after the death of the father. Then we had the interim, the middle Shita, which was the sheet of the Sholchu Mitam. That's the opposite of Shmuel Shita, according to the Rabbanan. And according to that Shita, the Rabbanan, although they hold that something has to be Muchzak, if you have a shtar, that's considered to be Muchzak, but that's only vis-a-vis the principle that the father once had in his rishus. But when it comes to the interest that he never had, that's definitely not considered to be Muchzak. Those are the three approaches. Without taking into consideration at all the possibility that there might be a difference between a loan that was repaid in real estate or a loan that was repaid in cash. All of a sudden we discover that underneath the psak of the B'nai Ma'arava, where we say that you can collect the loan, but not the repeat, there's also a machlokas about the circumstances of such a collection. So according to Rabbah, it's true, only where what was collected was the karka that you had to lean against. And according to Reb Nachman, it's the opposite. Only if what was collected was cash, which can be viewed as now the same cash that was once in Rishus of the father, but not where you were paid back in real estate. That's where we're up to now.
When they do a lien, would the lien usually be against the karen, or would it also be against the value of the karen plus the ribbit?
It wouldn't matter, because we know that the ribbit he never owned, and therefore we couldn't consider it to be muksak.
In all cases, would you own with a shtar?
Yes, but if it's no shtar, then it's varay, not muksak, because then you're just lucky that it managed to get here. It might as well have landed with the stork in a parachute. So, now continues the Gemara, in which Abaye felt that Rabbah's totally wrong and Reb Nachman's totally wrong. There's absolutely no way to make this distinction between cash and real estate. Not only are they wrong, they even contradict themselves. So now he's going to attack both of them. Amalei Abaye le Rabbah, look, leditcha kasha, Reb Nachman kasha. Neither of your approaches makes any sense. And they're even self-contradictory. Because l'didach kasha, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. You're telling me that when it comes to money, that money can't be viewed as mukhtar, right? Because it was never in his rishus. The property, on the other hand, can be viewed as in his rishus because he had a lien. So why did you say that when it comes to the money, it's not mukhtar? I mean, this is not the same cash that the father had in his rishus when he died. It's a different cash. So that's true about the karka also, logically speaking. Lav hai karka shava kavuha. Look, you're telling me he had a lien. A lien isn't anything. A lien is an ability to collect. But if the guy would want to pay you off for something else, could you use your lien? Absolutely not. So what are you telling me? I own this karka. Why? Because the guy didn't pay you off. That's coincidence. But if he ends up paying you off with this karka, it would have been just as easy for him to pay you off with cash and to keep you off of the karka. You never owned this karka. You're fooling. So therefore, it's a pure coincidence. If you don't view the fact that money was owed and had once been in the rishus of the father when he was alive as a reason to view it as mukhsak, then the fact that the land came in is just as coincidental as the fact that the cash came in. Therefore, it doesn't hold up rationally. Furthermore, you're a contradiction to your own psak, the od. The amar hu da amrit, it was you yourself who paskened, that mistaber taima de b'nei ma'arava, that what the b'nei ma'arava paskened about the famous safta is very reasonable. Now, before we get into this, let me tell you the case of the famous safta, which we're going to be getting into at Amud Beis, so that we can understand the logic that's involved over here. What happened over here is, that's right, Richie, safta stories. I mean, it's got, yeah, let's, okay. So what happened was like this. A guy who had an only daughter, and this only daughter was married to a fellow, and that's all he had in life except for an old grandma. So what he said was, look, my property, somebody's got to take care of the old grandma. Who's going to be paying off her bills? So after I die, I want to leave my property to grandma, who's all alone. And when grandma dies, then it should go to my heirs. No? Can we please be clear? There's people here that are waiting to hear. A man had a only daughter as a child who got married. And he also had an old grandmother. It was the only ones in his family that were living.
Daughter and his grandmother.
Yes. So before he died, he said, I want to leave my property to grandma as long as she lives. And after she dies, then the property should go to my heirs. Huh? What happened is that as life sometimes has, it doesn't work out according to your best plans. His daughter died before the grandmother. And he died. So now the grandmother dies. This is a terrible story. Everybody dies. I mean, this is really bad news. So what happens is that now the wife of the man, who's no longer alive, they don't have any children. The husband wants to inherit the money from his dead wife. So he says, look, there's no other heirs. Basically, the grandmother died. According to what this man said, my father-in-law, Olam HaShalom, a good guy, certainly meant to give the money to me. Zichreinu Livracha. So, I should be the one that gets the money? The heirs of the grandma said, no, there's no way to be Mekayim the Tanai. Because the guy said that when grandma dies, it should go to his heirs. He doesn't have any living heirs. So, Lamaisa, it should go to our heirs. Good. Comes now to court, and the Bnei Ma'arava paskin, that the money does not go to the husband. Instead, it should go to the grandmother's heirs. Okay. Now, what does that mean? The first thing that strikes you is that what it means is that that property was not considered to be mukhsak. Because remember, we said before that a baal is not notel berot weikibu mukhsak. So we have over here a perfect parallel to the dinim of Bukhor. There's two cases where you're not notel yerusha berot weikibu mukhsak. One is the chelik b'chayra, and the other is the chelik of a husband in his wife. So if his wife inherited something and then she dies, so then the husband inherits it. But if the wife dies before she gets it, then it doesn't go to the husband. Okay? Now, if that is the case, and you yourself, says Abaya, paskin, that mistaver time of the B'nai Ma'arava, you said that the B'nai Ma'arava are right And in fact, the husband should not be neitel that property. So what are you saying, my dear? You're saying that a piece of land that you have the rights to inherit is not considered to be mukhsar. That sounds to me exactly like the case we have over here, that a piece of land that the bechor was supposed to, that the father was supposed to collect with this contract, and it was omet to fall to him, should not be considered to be mukhsar. And yet you're passing it as mukhsar. So how do you square your two piskei halachot that you passed by the Safta case that it's not mukhsar? Don't ask the differences. The Gemara is going to discuss the differences.
Well, it seems like it's matzah, but Rishba Safta can't say it.
No, he's giving it to the... What boils down here is he's giving it to the Safta temporarily, but it remains a Yerusha to his heirs. So after Safta is not in the picture, it should go to my heirs. Right? So you said, Mistaver time of the Bnei Ma'arava. Why is it Mistaver? Because the Ikadim Safta Vizavna, Zvina Zvina. Let's say that Safta decided to sell this piece of property. So then there would have been nothing left, right? So you would never have inherited, even if the daughter was alive, she never would have inherited that property. Says Abaye to Rabbi, my dear Rebbe. That's true about the property that you have a lien against. If the guy would want to sell it, so to speak, by buying it off of you and paying you back in cash, so that means that this property is not really mukhsak in your hands. It's exactly the same case. So just like the Safta could have prevented your Yerusha of this piece of property by selling it, over here this guy could have prevented your collection of this piece of property by paying for it. So you see from there that there's no din that something that is going to be coming to you, maybe, and could easily be prevented from coming to you, should be considered to be mukhsar. So you contradict yourself, and it's illogical. Either you hold that because this money used to belong to the father, it's therefore mukhsar, and I don't care what form it takes now, property, cash, whatever, or not. In which case, it's not considered to be mukhsar, but you can't have it both ways, and you can't contradict yourself. Yes, that we're going
to
see later on. But when somebody makes it tonight like this, the person that gets it first nonetheless has the right to sell it. It's going to be a machlokas, as we'll see. Furthermore, says Abaye, Reb Nachman doesn't make any sense. Not logically, and also he contradicts himself. And now let me explain to you. Reb Nachman kasha. Because, look, we all understand that Reb Nachman is weird. I mean, why is it the property you think is the one? I'm killing myself to be able to speak to you. You understand? And one of the reasons I'm killing myself is because Richie threw me out there. So you darn well better stay up. Yeah.
There's an oven that you...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and we've been dealing with some tough guys. Some tough guys when it comes to Tanakh, let me tell you. So, you know, I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. You're going to be facing the Morey Nefesh, all right? So either shut up or get ready to fight. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so let me tell you now why Reb Nachman makes no sense. Again, says Abaye. We all understand that it was a rather weird thing to say that Dafka the Karka, which you do have a lien against, is not considered to be Bozak, but the cash does, huh? That's weird. So let me ask you something. So what did you think when you heard about the Karka, according to Reb Nachman? Yeah, you came up with a great svara. The karka the father never owned, but the cash the father owned. Ah, come off it, guys. This cash the father owned. This cash has as much relationship to the father as the land does. I understand. So, Elo, you're saying, well, but he owned the value of this cash. Thank you very much. So he owned the value of this karka. What kind of ridiculous nafkamina is this? So I'm asking you, mashna karka dolo. Why is it not considered to be mulsik? The father never left this piece of land. He never owned this piece of land. That's exactly the point. So ma'ot nami, I understand. And the cash? This is the cash that he left them. Love ani ma'ot shavak avon. This is not the cash that he left his kids. That cash he gave away to somebody as a loan. So you have to make up your mind. Either you hold that it's mulsik, like Rebbe holds, and then it would be across the board, or it's not mukhsar. Don't give me this nafkamina that it makes a difference whether it was cash or property. Not to mention the fact that Reb Nachman actually contradicts himself. Because Reb Nachman, furthermore, va'od, ha'amar Reb Nachman, amar Rabba bar Avua, yitomim, shegavu karka bechovat avihen, ba'alchov chozer v'govamien. The din is that if somebody has a lien against a father's property, he can't use that lien to collect something that comes in after the death of the father, obviously. He can only use a lien that existed while the father was alive. So if the kids now inherit not the father's property, which wasn't there, but they inherit a year after the father dies a piece of property that was owed to the father, so then the Nachman Paskin, well, it's the same thing. You could collect against that property. What do you mean? Obviously, because Reb Nachman must hold that something that had a lien to the father, when it's collected, is considered to be as if it were in the rishus of the father, and the lien was chal on it. So that means that Reb Nachman Bedafka is saying that a piece of property is muchzik. So why the heck, if it's muchzik enough for a lien to be chal on it, isn't it muchzik enough for a bechor to be neitel pishnayim? So that you don't make any sense, Reb Nachman doesn't make any sense, nothing makes sense in this sugya. It's irrational, and it's soiser the two other related sugyas, the safta sugya and the lien against yitomim sugya. Okay, are we clear on the interrelationship of these three sugyot, and why it is that Abai is asking? Fine, it's a lot of different issues, nothing difficult, it's just a lot of different points you have to keep in mind.
You don't
cover
the same bills, obviously, if I've
got
the same amount.
Right, but muzak is muzak, and not muzak is not muzak. We're talking, in which case are you asking about?
Yes, that's
exactly what I'm saying. So make up your mind. Is it the fact that it's the value he once owned? So then you hold like Rebbe. So it doesn't matter whether you collect money, it doesn't matter. So what are you making an afkamina for? If you all know, it's the actual item. It's neither the karka nor the money.
Actual item means the same bills that I gave you.
I guess. Item? Because if it's not, what do you care if the bills look like land or they look like bonds? Or who cares? Yeah, same thing. Once it's value, it's abstracted. So how can you understand how you can have it both ways? Very good time. So we have three sugyas that simply are out of sync. And this is what Abai is tying. Something is terribly wrong here. So how do we indeed get out of this? Let's just see that inside. Where Reb Nachman himself, Paskin, like Rabba Bar Avua, that Yetomim Shegovu Karka Bechovat Aviyem, Baal Chov Chozer Vegoveviyem. The Baal Chov could go back and collect it. Omar Lay said, Rabba Tabaya, listen here. Don't be so sure about yourself, okay? Lola Didi Kasha, Lola Reb Nachman Kasha. You're making a big deal over nothing over here. It's a tempest in a teapot. First of all, you have a very simple error. You thought that the machlokus between Reb Nachman and me was about what we hold. Well, it's not. Amemar was misleading you. Not Amemar, but Ravina was misleading you, because Ravina said, Amemar is like the Reb Nachman and the Bnei, and the people from Narda, they all hold like each other. Reb Nachman wasn't talking about what he holds. I and Reb Nachman simply were attempting to explain the Svara of the Bnei Ma'arava. We ourselves don't hold it as Bichlal. It's the Bnei Ma'arava who came up with the idea that Aliba de Rabbona, the din is that you do have a right to be Neitel Pishnayim in a repayment of a loan. I and him disagree about whether that's referring to land or whether it's referring to cash. Now listen here. The things that you're bringing as questions are the very issues that led us to deal with the problem. There's a contradiction in the Bnei Ma'arava. Because the Bnei Ma'arava, when it came to the Safta, they said that the husband can't collect it, which means that they held that the land is considered to be not muchzik. And then when it came to the Bechor, they said he can collect it. Now, that's a problem. It's nothing to do with us. That's a problem in the Bnei Ma'arav. Okay? So clearly, one way out of this is to say, and that's what Reb Nachman was thinking, oh gosh, if they paskin that way by the Safta, so that shows that they hold that Karka is not muchzik. So how could they say a Bechor collects the loan? Must be that was talking about cash. Because Enoch Inami, the land is clearly not muchzik according to them. That's how Reb Nachman was forced into making the distinction that he just made, you see? Because otherwise he said, this makes no sense. Makes sense? Now you understand where Reb Nachman's coming from. He wasn't talking about what he holds. He was trying to make sense of the Bnei Ma'arava. Now, if you want to understand where I'm coming from, let me start at the beginning. The fact is that both of us, Taiba de Bnei Ma'arava Kamrina, V'lon lo svira lan, We don't even hold of the Svara of the Bnei Ma'arava. We're only coming to say if somebody, apparently the Bnei Ma'arava hold, that it's possible to collect, what is it that you'd collect from? That's all we're coming. Reb Nachman himself holds, you don't collect a dime. Aye, so you'll say, but, how could he say that? Reb Nachman himself paskin, in the case of the Yatomim, and that was your other question, in the case of the Yatomim, that you can collect property. You can collect property. I'm going to have to come with a lightsaber. Borrow it from one of my grandchildren. Mm. They're pretty scary things, Richie. So you can collect property with a lien against the father, even though the property was not in the rishus of the father when he died. Reb Nachman paskin that. How the heck could Rava say, nah, Reb Nachman Bichlal doesn't hold to such a thing that you could possibly collect since considered to be mukhsi, because it's not mitel pishnayim Bichlal. Nonsense. So then how does he explain the Pesach of Reb Nachman about the collection of the father? Very simple. Excuse me. A has a lien to B. B has a lien against C. A has a lien against C. Thank you. That's the answer. It's not because it's mukhsik. The guy who's coming to collect from the Yatomim had a lien against a man who had a lien against another man. That gives me a lien against the last man. It has nothing to do with the father being mukhsik, not mukhsik. I'm not exercising my lien against the father. I'm exercising, exactly. I'm exercising my lien against the third guy, who is alive, who was always alive, who was always mukhsik. What's your problem? So I'm telling the Yatomim, excuse me, who are you? What do you mean? We're the son of the guy. No. Out of my way. I'm collecting this from the guy who paid your father. That's all. Very simple. So therefore, you had everything fit. So you don't know what you're talking about. We weren't even holding our own sheet. Reb Nachman was never dealing with the issue of being neitel b'mukhzik or not b'mukhzik. He was dealing with a simple halacha that liens can be collected against a final lien. And it had nothing to do with this. So basically, we're all agreed that the Bnei Ma'arava are wrong. I'm coming to tell you where they would make sense. So I say, if we're looking at the two cases, we're looking at the case of the Safta, and Reb Nachman's all hung up about this. Gee, how could the Bnei Ma'arava possibly say that when it comes to the Safta, it's not considered to be mukhsik, and yet when it comes to the Bechor, it is considered to be mukhsik? Must be that counterintuitively, they hold that cash is more mukhsik than karka. Oh, please, says Rabbah, that's not the meaning. Meaning is very simple. The Safta, and I explained it, but you didn't even notice what I was explaining. The Safta could have sold the land. That's the point. So you never had a lien on the land. In this case, you have a lien on the land. So you're definitely going to get something.
It's direct.
It's direct. And over there, you're hoping that if there's land that's left over, by the time the Safta dies, that you'll get it. Hopes are never mukhsik.
And it's indirect.
That's right. So there's no comparison. In this case, you actually have a lien, and a lien is considered to be mukhsik. Cash, nu memela. The cash is not what you had the lien against. It's a simple svara. That's all I'm saying. So Mamela, the sugyas, you had all the sugyas interrelated, the Bechlal not interrelated. They just look interrelated. So there's a lot of other issues that are going on over here that you didn't even take into consideration. And what Lechatchila we thought, that the Nardoi hold of each other, isn't even true. Reb Nachman does not hold that way. Reb Nachman doesn't hold of a Mema. He was only explaining the Shita, the Bnei Ma'arava. There you go.
But he's holding land superior
to
cash because he's the actual
land. Who does? Who's he? Rabba. Yeah, of course. That's the simple svara. Now, by the way, what is this case of the Safta, says the Gemara? My Safta. The case was Ahudi Amar Lu, a guy who told this guy is dying. He's giving away his property on his deathbed. So he says, Nichasai le Safta, I'd like to give all of my property for my grandma, and after her, it should go to my heirs. So after my grandma dies, it doesn't go to her heirs. It goes to my heirs. Now, in this case, he had an only daughter. Zahavile Barta, Dahavi Nasiva, and he had a daughter who was married, and she ended up dying while her husband was alive and while the Safta was alive. So now, Batar Deshriva, after she died, the Safta died, Batar Deshriva Safta, the Baal comes along, Atabal, Katova, and he said, my entire Shver Alav HaShalom said, that I'm supposed to get this Yerusha. After the good old Safta was Nifteret, the ripe old age, so now I collect. even though my wife, unfortunately, is no longer alive, but I collect from through her. Amar Avuna, Avuna said, well, the guy said after Safta dies, it should go to my heirs. My heirs mean Afilu Liyarte Yartoi, even the ones that would inherit from my inheritors, somehow all the way down the line. So the Baal is the guy who's down the line. Whereas Rav Onan Amar, no, he said, my heirs. He never said to the heirs of my heirs. So he was referring to his daughter. If Lamaisa, his daughter, was no longer living, then his intent was that it should remain in the Safta's family. He gave it to the Safta. All he was saying is that if my daughter is alive at the time of the death of the Safta, that my daughter should have it. Since his daughter was not alive, he never meant that it should go any further, such as to the Baal. Now, there's something wrong with this machlokas.
Wow.
Once you get into the Dan spirit, you know, it's time for a Dan Yadinamo. It doesn't seem to move Richie at all.
When do we get into two language squeaky five?
We're getting there.
Okay. What's wrong with this machlokas is that wasn't the real issue whether a Baal is Naito Baroi Kibimu was that? Not whether the intent was to go to my heir, the heir of my heir, and so on. Right? That's exactly what the Gemara is about to address. Shalchu mitam, so they sent from Eretz Israel that Hilchata Kavati de Ravana. Ravana is right, but he's wrong. He just happens to be right, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. What he said is not the issue, because that's not the point. V'lav mitam, eh? But not because of what he thinks. The halacha is like Ravana, that the Baal is lo yorit. But why is the Baal lo yared? Not because of what he said. What he said is ridiculous. According to what he said, think about it. According to what he said, if the daughter had a son, well, I only said to my direct heirs, not to the children. That's ridiculous. Of course, if the daughter had a son, it would have gone to the grandson. The only question over here is whether a Baal is considered to be a Yorish of a Yorish or not. That's the issue. And that's question of the Baal is not Neitel, Beroike Bemuchzak. So Memela, we paskin like Ravana, but for totally different reasons. And this was the B'nai Ma'arava, who obviously were saying, it's not considered to be Muchzak, about whom Rabba said. It's not considered to be Muchzak, because if the Safta wanted to sell it, she could have sold it. So now everything makes sense. But let's see that inside. The lav mitame, it does not go according to the logic of Ravana. Dila Ravana, tsover afagav davile bro levarte lo yorit. Ravana would have held, even if the guy had a grandson, this daughter would have had a son. That son wouldn't have been yorish, and that's ridiculous. Velohi. Of course, if he had a grandson, he would have meant that it goes to the grandson. The reason that we're paskening like Rav Anan is for a completely different reason. Baal, hainu taime de lo yorit, is because it's ra'ui. Mishum da'avile ra'ui. V'ein ha'baal notel. B'ra'ui kebemuchzak. And a Baal does not get the right to be notel b'ra'ui. That's all. Very straightforward. Which, of course, we understood all along when we were analyzing the discussion of Abai and Rabbah. It was based on that assumption. Now, wait a minute. So then what are you saying? That Rav Huna holds? We never heard that anybody holds that a Baal is Naito Baroi Kibamotze. So why the heck does Rav Huna? But here Rav Huna seems to be saying that a Baal is Naito Baroi Kibamotze because he's claiming that the Baal would have a right to be Yorish. Nobody held that. So are you trying to tell me, says the Gemara Michlal, that Rav Huna argues, does hold Savar Baal Notel Baroi Kibamotzeak? Omar Rabbi Elazar, I'll tell you, davar ze niftach bigdolim. You know, this issue started with really big people. I mean, Rav Huna is somebody you can call an Adam Gadol, but it wasn't properly explained. It's going to have to be closed by somebody small like myself, and it's nistayim biktanim. And this is the reasoning here that was missing. Kol haomer acharecha keomer meachshav dami. Rav Huna's logic is that the meaning of saying, I'm giving a gift to A, But when A dies, it's to go to B, means I'm giving this to B, except that I'm allowing A to use it as long as he's alive, which would mean that A only has kinyan peres, but the thing itself is owned already, right now, by B. That's the interpretation of the statement, according to which, of course, the Safta could not have sold it, because all she had was the rights of peres. And therefore, Rav Huna says, what does this have to do with Roy Kibamukzik? He owns it. He already owns it. While his wife was alive, she owned it. The moment that the wife died, the Baal was Yerush it. Saying, if the Baal was Yerush it, why wasn't he able to use it? Because somebody else had a Kenyan Paris. It was if it was rented to somebody else. So, if it's rented to somebody else, he's not Yerush it. Of course he's Yerush it. That's the issue over here. So it turns out that all of the complicated things that we thought were directly interrelated turn out to be not related at all. The sugyas here are taking completely different things into consideration. Whether it's a kinyan peres, or whether it's a real kinyan, whether the guy intended that it should go to his yorshim, not to his yorshe yorshim, whether a lien against one person is considered to be a lien against the final party, and so on and so forth. Issues that bechlal had nothing to do with the essential sugya of how broadly we're meant to define muchzik versus ra'ui. Omer of Papa? Omar Rabbah, as we saw earlier, Mistavra time of the Bnei Ma'arava, that actually, we paskin not like Rav Huna. And the Bnei Ma'arava make a heck of a lot of sense, because there's no way that the Baal can be viewed as the owner, nor can the Baal be viewed as a muchzek, because if the Safta had gone and sold it, he cut him Safta vizavna, zvina zvine, it would have been a good sale. So how can you tell me, Shonazi, can you pay us? Furthermore, how could you tell me that the Baal is a muchzik where he may never see a dime of it? What's a child? I mean, the Baal, the woman, his wife, is a muchzik. She might never see a dime of it. Because when a guy leaves a field for a Yerusha, in such circumstances, it's only if the field is there. Who'd you say the field's going to be there at the time that Safta dies? Memela, the Bnei Ma'arava, the only ones who make any sense over here. Omer of Papa, Hilchasa ina Baal doito beroike b'muchzak. That's a given. The ina b'chor notel b'ra'ui kibumukzak. And of course, that's a given. A b'chor is like an abal. Cannot be notel. And, halakha is also, ina b'chor notel pishnayim b'milva, ben shegavu karka, ben shegavu ma'ot. Makes no nafkamina whether we're talking about a collection of karka or a collection of ma'ot, the way that we found was a machlokus between Rabbah and Reb Nachman, makes no nafkamina. The halacha is, a bechor would not be neto pishnai.
Well, and not like Rabbi, and what would the Safta say?
Not like Rabbi.
Yeah, but and as far as you the right to pay rot, how come that's
been? We don't, because it's, we're going to see later. The Gemara's going to discuss it later. But that, we don't paskin that it's considered to be a right for Paris alone. It's not a right for Paris alone. What he means is, if anything is left from this gift, then the remnants of the gift should go to the next person. But if nothing is left, so the guy sold it, he sold it. But again, we'll get into the details later on.